Hey, what's up? It's your homegirl, Complex Angel. I'm the Vibe.
And it's your girl, Queen K. I'm the Vision.
And welcome back to another episode of Queens with Vibes and Visions. So, Queen K, how was your week so far?
Girl, okay. My weekend was hella busy. I did hair back to back to back. My body is hurting, but I made it, okay? I am thankful that God gave me the strength to get done with 7 heads in one weekend. I've never did that many before. Everybody was pleased with their style, so I'm just thankful, you know? I'm saving up because I come to Philly. I come back home for the weekend, so, you know, excited about that. Really looking forward to my weekend getaway. Looking forward to my week. I'm just thankful that God gave me the opportunity to see another day, me and my kids, and we're healthy. So I'm going to rejoice in the week. Like, I'm not going to complain. Changing my mindset, it means a lot when you change your mindset and can see the good in your day. So how about you, Complex? What's going on?
Excited that I get a 4-day weekend. I'm off Friday, so you can come. Definitely have a lot planned. Went to a baby shower, and we did a surprise party for my boyfriend this past weekend, and that was in one day, so I'm just glad that that was over. But
okay.
Other than that, blessed, and I'm just ready for tonight. I've been waiting for this episode, and we have the two guests on. About to unmute them. Hold on.
Okay.
Hey, Nisha. Hey, Francis. What's going on?
Hi.
How are
you? Hey, y'all.
Good. How are you?
Good. Nisha, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I want to make sure. All right. Okay, Queen K, did you want me to just drop the rules before we get into the episode?
Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead.
Okay, so listeners out there, you did see the flyer. We were supposed to have 3 women on tonight, but our guest Kamaya could not make it due to an emergency. So it's just going to be Nisha and Francis, but it's still going to be a wonderful show. We're going to talk about some things that probably hits close to home, you know, but it's a topic that needs to be talked about. We just ask that, you know, Nisha and Francis, me and Queen K give you the safe space to be open and honest as much as you want. You know, if there's some things you don't want to answer, you can answer from a general perspective. And just know that this is a non-judgment zone. Like, we are very open-minded. And the order we'll go in is Queen K has questions, I have questions. And the order of who will answer is Francis will answer first, then Nisha. Once you two answer, if anyone wants to piggyback before we go to the next question, you can definitely do so. And with that being said, I believe we're going to have a good show tonight. Let's rock out. With that being said, Queen K, what is the sipping tea for your soul topic?
All right, kings and queens, hello, everybody. How y'all doing, first off? I want to thank y'all so much for tuning into our first women's panel, season 3. Woo-woo! Me, Complex, along with our special guest, will be discussing the beautiful topic of marriage, okay? We will be asking our lovely queens a few questions coming from the aspects of baggage and self-awareness. So with that being said, we're going to get into our first topic. No, before we get into the topic, I want each of you ladies to introduce yourselves, give the listeners your name, and also let them know how long you guys have been married.
So, Francis, you want to go first?
Yeah, that's fine. Hi, everybody. My name is Francis, also known as Free. I've been married to my husband for a year. We'll be 2 years in November. We've been best friends for 15 plus years. And that's my hubby, my little caramel.
Okay.
What about you, Nisha?
My name is Nisha. I've been married for 3 years. I've been with my significant other for 16 years.
Hey, cousin. I had to throw that in there.
Oh, you want to be personal? Hey, coworker. That's Francis, my coworker, y'all. Yep.
It's just trying to lighten up the mood, you know.
I know. I'm being funny.
Okay. Okay, thank you, ladies, for sharing. Okay, so we're going to get into the first aspect, which is self-awareness. So my first question for the night is a man content with his wife working long hours or being, in his eyes, more successful?
Francis?
Oh, me first? Okay, sorry.
Yep.
I don't really believe, I mean, for taking on my marriage, I would say no. Like, my husband, yeah, I make more money than him, but I don't throw that in his face, or we don't be like, oh, this is mine, this is hers, like his type of thing. We work together as a unit, and we understand that whatever money we have is ours. Yeah, we have separate stuff, but whatever we maturely have together, it's ours. We're a unit. We're going to build. We're growing with one another and understanding that despite anything, like if I were to lose my job, he got me. If he were to lose his job, right, I got him type of thing. So it's a friendship and that kind of like cushion, like no matter what happens, we got one another.
That's what's up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nisha?
Miss Nisha.
Well, yeah, the same with me. Well, he makes more. Right now, he's the breadwinner right now. But I know that he has me no matter what. And if I was still working, I would have him, and he knows this. So, it's the same with me.
Okay. The reason for my question is because I was talking to another friend of mine, and she was saying how she feels like the fact that she, stepped out on faith and, franchised her business or whatnot, that she felt a distance coming in between them two. And, it led them to a rough patch in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But she feels like her success is what brought it down. And then I know another lady who was out in the dating field, and the fact that her car was better than whatever the date was driving, he didn't want to talk to her anymore. I just want to know, like, does that work the same in a relation? I mean, on a marriage, like, does the husband ever feel some type of way, to make it not work as, to where y'all on two different playing fields? That was why.
Right.
I work really long hours. Like, I work really, really hard every day. And I know in my previous relationships, that has always been an issue with how much I work.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know, does that change when you're married?
I would say right, toward that statement, that my husband used to work in a hotel industry, and they work long hours. He was a manager, and there would be times where he'll take another person's shift if they call out or stuff like that. And that, like, scenario, our marriage, it wasn't in a rough spot, but I had to tell my husband, like, babe, like, I feel like I don't have a husband. You're like, you're not here 24/7. But I had to also realize that he was working. He was working to provide, and we had to have that open communication. I think in marriage or in relationships, you just have to have that open communication. Not saying the person that you're dating or married to doesn't have their own self-insecurities. They may not, like, feel like or act in a way of jealousy, but that may be something like, oh, like, yeah, I'm happy for my girl, I'm happy for my man, but I'm not there yet. Why am I not there yet in this season? So it may just be that particular person. And they may not mean any ill will towards it, but it's just like sometimes in society they put us on this, like, you have to have this, you have to have that. And then you see the one person elevating, you may feel like you're feeling, like, left behind. So I would say to any women or men out there, just have open communication and support one another. Yeah, it's not easy. Relationships aren't easy. Just have open communication and understand where each other is coming from, and knowing that at the end of the day, y'all going to work together, and y'all going to be good.
I wanted to kind of spin it, if I could, because, Nisha, I want to get your perspective on this, because I actually did know a coworker that had that same issue, King K. Everybody know Quicken Loans, you work crazy hours, like 12-hour shifts sometimes. And I remember my coworker, you know, she was married, but they had kids. And she was like, we have to lower these hours because my husband feels like a single father. Like, what is your perspective on that, Nisha? Like, do you think that can play a part? Yeah.
Yes, it can. I have five kids. And my husband, he's a trucker. He drives semi-trucks. So him being gone a lot, I was feeling like the single parent because he was hardly here.
Yeah.
But we talked about it, and right now we're still having like little issues with that. So So I don't know.
No, I get it.
She was saying about the communication. Even with us talking, it's still like it's going over his head. Like I'm here. No, I was working. He was working. Right. So now that he's just working and I'm here, it's like, when do I get a break? Like, we got 5 years.
Right. Because you still got a full-time job with 5 kids, baby.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that still works.
You do.
That still works.
And the fact that they're not in school, they're online schooling, so it's like,
baby,
yeah.
You punching the clock when you wake up automatically.
Right. Oh, shit.
Girl. You punch the clock, okay? Mm.
Okay.
Online learning, that's another topic. Okay, we'll talk about that later. But okay, ladies. So anybody else want to piggyback off that before I get into my next question?
No.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so my next question is, do you feel some men are stuck in the 1950s perception of what a wife is? Meaning, they think that you're supposed to be very, very submissive. You're supposed to make sure all the housework is done. You're supposed to make sure they want sex when they get, you know, when they want it. They're supposed to have it. They're supposed to have a home-cooked meal. You're supposed to do everything with a smile on your face, with a little dress on, with an apron. Do you think some men still feel like this, even though we have totally switched up?
Yes.
Okay.
I say yes. That's how my husband is. He, everything it got to be done, and it better be done right. And I just be looking at him like, I'm sorry. I'm home all day. I understand that you're out on the road, but okay. But yeah, he makes his way.
See,
no Nisha, no, it's no Nisha way.
See, what about you, Francis?
What do you think, Francis?
No, not with us particularly. Like in our marriage, like from home right now. And sometimes I'm going out in the field, but predominantly I'm working from home. So if I'm home and I know, like, he's about to come off of work or whatever and whatnot, I will, like, start dinner, prepare dinner. But there'll be some days I'm tired. And he'll be like,
yes.
I know you're tired or I'm coming home late. Like, don't worry about me. Just make sure you're good. Make sure you eat. But are there times that I cook? Yeah, because I'm like, all right, well, my man coming home from work. Let me just, you know, throw a little dinner together or whatnot. And make sure he eat, because I know he had a long day at work type of thing. But I wouldn't say he's dominating on the aspect of, like, women have to be in the kitchen, because I'm not that woman. Like, he loves my independence. He loves that I'm headstrong. He loves that I have and think for myself. Like, I have a mind of my own. And he doesn't, like, try to state, like, that role. Like, you have to be in the kitchen, because he know I'm not that type of woman. Yeah, I like being in the kitchen. But it's not a demand to. So you don't necessarily have that problem. But are there men that think like that? Yes. And they got the right one.
Yes.
They got the right one.
Yeah.
The reason for that question was because, like, in my first relationship, that's what he felt. Like, I wasn't even married. Like, that was my fault for playing wife to somebody. But in my first relationship, like, he thought I was supposed to get off work, come home to a newborn baby, come home with a newborn baby, have dinner cooked, cleaned, and be ready for him when he wanted. No, sir.
Oh,
and
no.
At first I was doing it, right? I was. I'm like, okay, this is what you're supposed to do when you're – but I wasn't taught the right way, right? So that's why I asked that question. That's where that came from. But now it's, okay, you hungry? Me too. What you cooking? So that's me not.
Right.
I'm not
right.
Married. But, you know.
Was he home
right.
when you were coming home?
Yes, he was already home. Been home.
Oh,
girl.
No. Oh, no.
It was what you cooking. Right.
If my husband off
yeah.
work, he already knows. Like, no.
Oh, God. Y'all can't with that. Oh, God. Oh, did anyone want to piggyback
okay.
before I go into my first aspect?
No,
I'm good.
Okay. All right. So my aspect is baggage. So my first question is, do you think a man will accept a woman with all of her baggage, meaning the mood swings, trust issues, and everything, or do you think she would have to nip it in the bud? Frances, did you want to go first?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, every woman and man have their own set of, like, baggage that they bring. We're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We're not anybody to be judging one another. And, like, myself,
right.
I know, like, I have a lot. I know my husband has a lot. And we're accepting of each other, and we're working on it separately
mm-hmm.
and together. Because, again, with marriage, you're a unit. Like, he can feel when something's wrong, and I can feel when something's wrong with him, and we know certain things plays with the baggage that we're carrying into our marriage or into what we've been brought up in. So I feel like some people are not accepting of those things, but for us, pardon, like, we're accepting of it because we know we're not perfect. And who am I to
right.
judge him when I'm not fully healed? We're both working
right.
on our healing and working through our hurt, because all that is just hurt.
Yeah.
Multiple
mm-hmm.
situations you were hurt, and then you just keep on adding it to yourself, and you haven't broken down that hurt. So you just got to
yep.
ultimately heal. Heal separately or heal together.
That's part.
True. Nisha, how you feel?
Well, yeah. As far as the baggage, like I was saying, telling Net, it's trust issues.
Can you say my government
you know,
on here?
I'm sorry, Queen K.
I'm just playing. Go ahead.
With him, I think it's more of a trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how we were before we got married. And even though we
mm-hmm.
went through marriage counseling and mm-hmm. all that good stuff, I still went
right.
in with a trust issue.
Right.
Right.
So it's something that I'm trying to work on with myself. Because
mm-hmm.
even though I know that he's not doing the things that I'm thinking he's doing, it's just that
right.
how it used to, I haven't let that, like she said, let that hurt go.
Right.
So I'm working on myself.
Right.
But,
no, I definitely commend you for being open and honest about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's going to take
that's
time.
So
yeah,
the
trust issue is that's
a big hurt to try to heal because
yes.
as women, we automatically, like, we replay that scenario, like,
yeah.
we doing
mm-hmm.
this, we doing that, and it's just like they couldn't even be doing it, but our mind automatically goes to 10 different things. So it's,
yep.
it's definitely something to work on.
That part. Because
yeah.
The reason why I asked this question was because I seen it was a meme of a woman sitting at her desk, and it had like a long paragraph about how she always thought that in order to be a good wife, you had to have a good career, had to have a degree, had to have a good I did say that, you know, had to have your own house. Like, just basically had to have a lot going for you. And she was like, I didn't realize that a lot of guys were passing up on me because they saw through my daddy issues, they saw my trust issues, they saw all this baggage I had, and they felt like it was too much, and I had shared it in a woman's group, and I got so many women that laughed at me and talking about this is y'all reading too much into this. If a man loves you, he's going to marry you regardless. But I've had talks, like I've had talks with my boyfriend, and he was like, women sometimes don't give men free space, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all want us to accept your baggage, but y'all don't accept men's baggage. So I want to bring that to the platform. But trust me, I got the trust issues too, Nisha. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've known my boyfriends, like, since, like, for 2 years now, and we've only been together for, like, a year. But sometimes I'll be looking sideways like, you thinking about cheating, you know what I'm saying? So trust me, we all go through that. We all go through that.
Right, because we'll be out and he'll be saying, he'll be like, you know, say if it's a cashier or something, and he'd be like, you know, they working you too hard, and I'm looking at him like, what you asking her that for?
Oh, my God.
She at work. What do you mean? You looking at me like, oh, no.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Oh,
God.
What's
like, you
have a
good day.
Right. Oh, I can't with y'all.
Girl.
Oh, yo. Oh, my next question is, in a marriage, do you feel that your partner should be emotionally available and understanding of your baggage to provide that reassurance for you?
Yeah, because it's his fault.
Okay.
So I'm not.
Yeah, because it's his fault. Period.
Like, you gotta be shocked.
But yeah, it's his fault. Right.
But nah, yeah.
I'm sorry, Nisha.
Yes, I feel like that.
Yeah, it makes it easier.
Yeah.
What you think, Francis?
Yeah.
I would say for me, it's sometimes hard for my husband to understand some of my baggage, and he often has to see God sometimes, because sometimes he's just like, okay, like, what's wrong with her? Like, she's not talking, she's silent.
Right.
Like, what's going on? So I would say for him, he'd really be having conversations with God, trying to figure out how to, like, talk to me and give me some reassurance on the issue or whatever is bothering me. Because sometimes, honestly, I don't even understand why I get into these emotions. It's sometimes some little thing could get triggered, something from childhood, whatever it may be. Sometimes I just go silent, and that's, like, a real toxic trait of mine that I'm still working on. And my husband's able to give me my space, but also give me a little bit of reassurance to know, like, no matter what, like, he got me. He's going to give me my time to, like, you know, cool down or whatever and get myself together.
Okay. So, going silent is toxic? Because I do that. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, girl, it's toxic.
Yeah, I get quiet.
When you quiet, that's the real anger right there. Because if you don't got nothing to say, that's real, like.
Yeah, my silence is when I'm plotting to kill somebody at that moment. It's like, okay, how can I get away with this fight? Like, what can I do?
Oh, man.
So when I get silent, that means conversation is over. I'm processing. I kill you and get away with it. Like,
yes. Man, the reason why I brought this question into the platform is because I do have, like, baggage, and it comes from my childhood. Mm-hmm. Like, listen,
man.
I hate that 2K21 came out. I hate that 2K came out. My boyfriend plays it a lot.
Ooh.
And, you know, he's a chef, so, you know, he works crazy hours, and on his 2 days off, he's either going into the city to help his mom, or, you know, he's going to do his podcast on Friday. So it's like, I be craving attention, and there will be times where he's tired on his off day, and I'll get into those emotions like, here I go, coming second. But then I have to tell myself, like, okay, he's entitled to feel tired. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you taking this a little bit more personal because you came second to a lot of stuff in your childhood? So yeah, you know, we have to check ourselves. Okay. But yeah, so well, with that being said, Queen K, did you want to do a bonus question? We got time.
Okay. Sure. Let me see. Okay, ladies, so this, I don't know if this will be going too personal into y'all business, but I do have a question. When he got down on one knee and proposed, all right, like at that moment, what fears popped into your mind? If you don't want to share, it's cool. Like I said, I don't mean to go in too deep into y'all business, but that is my question, because I just want to know, like, is it just excitement, or, like, do you start, like, does the negative start hitting, you know, quick?
Right.
I was excited. Well, see, he proposed, I got proposed to twice. So, the first time I was excited, and then the second time I was like, we're going to do this again? I'm not moving until you moving. So,
right.
So when he started to bring out the bag up under the bed, the old bag that we had, the first proposals, when we was getting all everything together, when he started bringing out all the stuff, I'm like, okay, he's serious. He real about this.
Okay.
So, yeah. I was excited the first time. The second time, I'm like, what you doing?
Oh, gosh.
I would say for me, I was excited. But I also say this, so my engagement party or little setup was, like, literally the worst best day ever. And I say that to say this. There were people around that shouldn't have been around, and it was just a lot of negative, toxic energy. People there to a show, to see the ring, not necessarily happy for me. So I was excited, but when I found out certain stuff behind the scenes were going on and my fiancé at the time was disrespected, it was a problem. Because now I'm on full go. Like, you're disrespecting him, you're disrespecting me. I don't care if you're my friend or not. There's a level of respect.
Right.
And that's supposed to be my future husband. So, to me, that day, every time it comes, every year, I remember the day I got engaged, is a trigger to me. Because I'm like, I'm not sad, but at the same time, I am sad because I'm like, it was literally the best, worst day ever.
No, I can understand that, yeah. Trust me. Oh, especially Facebook don't make it no better when they want to remind you.
Girl. Girl. Facebook be the devil. But the reason why I brought that question in is because I was proposed to in both of my relationships. And then the first one, I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm just going to say yes because this is what I'm supposed to do, right? But in the back of my mind, I'm like, what are you doing? But I didn't speak up for myself, right? I just let it go. I just went with the flow because that's what everybody was telling me to do. Oh, you got to say yes because you got a kid already, so you're supposed to be married, right? Then my second relationship, I was happy with the first proposal, right? I was happy, but then when it didn't go nowhere, like Nisha said, the second time, I'm just like, all right, nigga, when you jump, I'll jump. That's how it was for me.
Right.
Like, it didn't go nowhere. It didn't go nowhere.
Right.
So I was over it. It was no excitement for me no more after the second time. It was just like, yeah, okay, we'll see. You pick the date. So that's how it was for me. That's why I asked. But thank you, ladies, for sharing.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Do you have one more, Queen K?
Let me see. We got,
I got two.
Another one for me? Okay, you can go ahead and do yours.
Okay. Well, one of my bonus questions was, in a marriage, do you still go through certain issues alone and keep it from your partner? And I just want to say the backstory. I had a talk with a guy before, and he said even in marriage, two people go down different journeys. Like, you know, and I was like, how? They're married. You know, the husband's problems is the wife's problems. And he was like, yeah, but, like, he basically used, like, say if you lost a parent and your spouse never lost a parent, they don't really know what that journey is like. They can only comfort you the best way they can. So, like, do you guys believe that's true?
I would say yes to what he's saying. Like, they can't really assist you in something they've never experienced. So, for my instance, like I said, my issue, a toxic trait, is silence and going away and being alone. And that's something that I have to process through the hurt I've experienced with childhood. And that was what I was taught. You go in your room, start over, you know, new day, next dysfunction, the next, you know, past trauma. But my husband, in a sense, he is very good at reading my energy and my reading my mood, my swings, my little facial expressions, because like, I've read everything on my face, so he know when I'm like irked or I'm going through something. And it's just about knowing that person's energy, but knowing that you may not understand what they're going through, but just be there and giving them reassurance. But that person can also be going through something alone, and it's okay.
Sure.
I think that
it's
for both spouses to understand, like, it's okay, you're not going to be able to do everything. That's when God comes in, you know. Sometimes you got to go see God on your own.
Okay. You want to piggyback, Nisha?
No.
Okay. You can ask your next question, Queen Kay.
Okay. My last one, I mean, I feel like y'all already answered it, but I guess you guys can give it from a general perspective. You don't have to go into yours, but do you think a marriage can last, you know, for the long haul if a woman is too dominant? You know, we have some women that's like, I'm a breadwinner, you stay at home, like that type of situation. Do you think a marriage could last like that?
Like the woman talks at the man?
Yeah.
Like, is she disrespecting
him? She's, like, overly, well, not disrespectful, right? Not disrespectful, but she's, like, too dominant, like, to the point where she's not really submissive.
Mm-hmm. Like, she don't need him?
In a sense, but she want him, like that.
Yeah.
I feel like
every
woman,
marriage will last?
Well, I would say this. In marriage, like, I always told my husband before we even got married or engaged, when we were boyfriend or girlfriend, I always told him, God is number one. I said, in order to love me, like how I need to be loved, you have to love God how I love God. And he knew that from the jump. So it's just, with that, I say, it's honestly, it's tough. Yeah, there's dominant women, but I don't feel like a man should feel belittled in a sense. I feel like woman's independence, her confidence, that like have that confidence, have that dominance, but also communicate. I feel like communication is definitely key in marriage, in a relationship, engagement, whatever you got going on, because once that is dead and it's not effective, then that slowly starts to drift y'all apart. Once you feel like you can't go to that person, or you feel like that person is trying to like belittle you, it's like, okay, what do I need to be around this person for? If all I'm getting is this toxic energy, why am I still around here? She don't need me or he don't need me.
Yeah, right.
So. Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'll ask my last one for you guys. Or did you have something to say, Nisha? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So my last question for you ladies is, what was your perception before marriage? Like, what did you feel marriage was for you, and has it changed since you've gotten married?
Honestly, I was scared of marriage because I grew up in a domestic household, and throughout my whole life, that's what I experienced. And I grew up, like, I was that strong, independent Black queen, like, I dated, I had, like, men trying to talk to me whatsoever, but I was just like, if you're going to treat me like this, like my father or something, then no. I'd rather be alone. I'd rather be around myself. I'd rather take care of myself. So that was another toxic trait I had, because when I got married, I was so afraid to let my husband do stuff for me, because I had always done it for myself. And I always felt like well, how I was brought up, if somebody did something for me, they would throw it in my face. So I would always be hesitant, like, if he'd be like, oh, let me buy you this, let me take you out to dinner or something. I'd be like, okay, what does he want? Is there something coming after with it? So I would say it was definitely something interesting. I was kind of scared of marriage, but I knew, I prayed to God, and I said, whoever I do marry, Father, like, this is my only marriage. I don't want to get married again. I don't want to get a divorce. I've been a child of divorce. I don't want to go through any of those toxic things. And we made it our duty, like, we're not perfect people, but we made it our duty to start over in Christ and be celibate before actually saying, I do, you know, and taking those steps. Like, a lot of people like to say, well, weren't you guys having sex before? Yeah, we were. But we made it our duty to resubmit ourselves to Christ and know, like, we didn't want to bring those generational curses into our marriage and start fresh. Every day in marriage is a fresh state. Like, you're choosing to love, choosing to encourage, and choosing to basically trust that person with your heart, with your, with their purpose and your purpose coming together. So it's definitely, it's not for the weak. It is a lot of work, but there are going to be good times. And man or woman, just continue to love yourself and work on yourself and know that when you do find that person and y'all come together, that it's going to take work, but it's going to be good.
Okay.
Did you want to answer, Nisha?
Well, yeah, but me is, because we were together for so long, like I said, like, my oldest, she's 18. We were together for 16 years. So I'm like, okay, we've been together for so long. After 7 years, we already married. So it's like, it's the same. Like, it haven't really changed for me.
Okay.
How it was, you know, I mean, we've been together for 16 years, so it just hasn't changed.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you, ladies, for answering these questions. I'm about to mute you guys. If you want to stay on and listen to the rest of the show, you can. Thank you so much for answering. I really appreciate
you
guys for dropping heavy gems.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Queen.
All right. All right, Queen K, you got anything to say?
I do. Okay, so first I want to just give another special thanks to Francis and Nisha for being so dope. Thank you to Queen so much. That was a wonderful, wonderful episode. Like, I enjoyed myself. The laughter was crazy. The gems were heavy. Thank you, ladies, so much for taking the time out. But, girl, okay, why she sparked the conversation for this virtual learning, okay? Let me tell you. I know I keep saying it, but just last week, right, now we've been in school since September 8th, and I work for a place that offers a learning center for the parents that work. You know, we offer for their kids to come there. We, you know, help guide them through and all that, yada, yada, yada. But they're there doing their virtual learning. We just found out, parents, please stay on top of your kids because they are being slick. Like, they're trying to out-slick us. We found out Friday that these kids are turning in empty assignments. So on their screen, it does not show that anything is missing. They're just turning in blank stuff, okay?
Oh, wow.
We had to go back, and after we have told these parents, yeah, they did their work. They don't have no missing assignments. Girl, it was all blank, okay? We don't know how long they've been doing it for, but y'all got to stay on top of these kids. This virtual learning is making them sneaky, okay? I understand they're tired of it, but y'all got to keep encouraging them and just stay up on it. Like, please, let's get on one accord. But also, I do have this to say. Last week or the week before last, me and my boss actually did a little march, a little protest for them to start treating childcare workers as pretty much educators. You know, we're not babysitters, we're educators. And you guys heard this in my previous rant. But all of that, I say all of that to say, us taking that step forward ended up getting us what we wanted. So we just got a message last week that they are going to fit us in the education budget and that we will be getting, you know, we will be getting the same treatment. We will be getting fair treatment. You know, we will be able to remain open during this crazy time. So, y'all, stand up for what you believe in. Please, stand up, fight for it if you believe in it. Even if you're the only one fighting for it, still do it. It's something that you believe in and it's something that's near and dear to your heart. And please know that it will come true, especially if you got God in it. And that was a big thing for me. Like, I talked to God heavy, and faith without works is dead. So please put that action behind it. Pray, put the action behind it. Watch God do. Watch God open up doors you never thought were open. Because I didn't know standing outside of the governor's mansion would get us email a week later stating that, yes, y'all all good. Y'all will be fit into the education budget. So keep on fighting, y'all. That's the only way you'll get any change. So, yeah, that's it for me. What about you, Complex?
Well, I just want to say I'm happy. I'm finally on a right accord with my book because I've been getting kind of discouraged.
Yay!
But I just had one of my friends, like I said in my last rant, to buy 3 books, and I just went to go check on Amazon. I am still 5 out of 5 stars. I have 11 reviews.
Let's go.
It's not much, but I'm very humble because, hey, it's more than what I was expecting. And unfortunately, Out of Darkness will not be coming out October 18th. I wanted it to come out this month, but I really feel like I owe it to you guys who really love the first book to not rush the second one. Like, I am almost done, but I just want to make sure that I cross my T's and dot my I's, you know what I'm saying, to make sure that this is another successful book. So just please be patient with me. Just wanted to let you know that. So with that being said, Queen K, what is the AO Kings and Queens quote this week?
All right, y'all. Y'all know I got 2 sponsored by Pinterest. We have a love-hate relationship. But thank you, Complex. See, you get me. Mm. Okay. I have 2. The first one is, isn't it funny how day by day, nothing changes, but when you look back, everything is different? This is by C.S. Lewis, okay? The reason I picked this quote is because Complex, this when I read it, Complex played in my mind because she always has me look at where I've been versus what I have now. And I always see growth. Like, we may not think that stuff is changing for us and that we do the same thing over and over, but you have to look at the little things. Think back to 5 years ago. Think back to, hell, a year ago, and see where you were versus where you're at today, and be thankful for the good. You're going to see change. Like, you just have to think about it, because the more I didn't think about it, you know, I was complaining because I was getting – I was getting tired because I felt like my routine was the same, like nothing changed. But then when she was like, I want you to think back to the beginning of this year and tell me where were you at, and then tell me where you at now. And I'm like, well, damn, she didn't have to do that, but she right. So, y'all, it's easy to look at where you at now and complain, but just refer back to where you were and look at how good God is that he brought you this far and that he's keeping you this far. You know, because not everybody wakes up in the morning. So I thank you for that, Complex.
No problem.
You definitely helped me to understand that. And then my second quote is, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning how to dance in the rain. Okay? We just got to remember, it don't get no easier, y'all. We only get stronger. Okay? Storms will come, but they also pass too. They do not stay forever. And my pastor taught me that you either coming out of a storm or going into one. That's what life is about. It's about those uncomfortable situations, because think about it. When it rains, you know, yeah, it looks gloomy, but look at all the good that blossoms out of the rain. You know, look at how the world is healed because of the rain. Like, you have to think about the good that this storm could bring you, you know, and go in with your head held high. Don't be consumed by the darkness. Like, I'm learning. Like, I'm teaching myself. As I'm talking to y'all right now, I'm preaching to my own so much that I could, you know, be sad about. But this platform right here, this is my rainbow. Like, it does not matter how my day go. Like, Complex told me, like, I can always tell how your day went based on how you say, I'm Queen K and I'm the vision. Like, she can always tell. But you know, this platform really opens me up, because then by the end of the show, I'm feeling better. I'm breathing better. I'm moving better. Like, the weight is lifted off of me. So, learn how to dance in that rain, y'all. Be Omarion and what was that movie called? You Got Served. When he was dancing in the rain.
Do it for Lil Saint.
Boom.
Yo. No, I want to When you said storms will come, I was about to bust out with Can You Stand the Rain. I'm about to listen to that after I get off the show. I'm sorry. I did. I was about to bust out. Like, oops.
Okay. Okay. And that is the end of my AO Kings and Queens quote. Complex. What is that no apology thought for the week?
Okay. So my quote is, I don't know who. I guess the person fuck your quote Instagram. This is what they made. Sorry about that. But the quote is, don't ever feel bad for making a decision about your own life that upsets other people. You are not responsible for their happiness. You're responsible for your own happiness. Anyone who wants you to live in misery for their happiness should not be in your life to begin with. So my enablers out there, my people pleasers, and my yes men and women, take your hands off of their situation and go find your happiness. And how you find your happiness is when you do stuff that makes you smile, and like Queen K said, where you feel a weight lifted off you, that's what you are passionate about. That's what makes you happy. Fuck the other people, okay? Because I'm telling you, you enable them, you please them, and you feel drained. And at the end of the day, you're stopping them from growing up and being accountable for their own bullshit. So please, go find you some happiness. And that is your homework for this week. And that is my no apology thought. So
I love that. Because I was just telling my boss, your comfort zone. Girl, get out there and live life. You got to. Can't be in the comfort zone if you're trying to live life
YOLO.
And be happy.
That
Come
part.
On, yo, girl, YOLO.
with that being said, I'm Complex Angel, I'm the Vibe.
And I'm Queen K, I'm the Vision.
And peace and love, we are out.
Peace and love, y'all.